Good morning. I'm John Wegraff, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus and pray that by our worship this day, we may find strength, a sense of peace and purpose, a sense of wisdom and grace and courage. I extend a particular welcome this day to all who are joining us virtually through our live streamed or recorded worship. Though we worship in our separate places, we are joined as one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, this community of faith greets you with a warm welcome, invites you into the safety and the peace of our prayerful worship. And now I'll turn over to Sarah Lynn for some announcements.
Good morning. We want to welcome the Reverend Dr. John Wegraff to our pulpit again today. John has been a member of First Congregational Church since 1984 and has served as an outreach minister for over a decade. We are so glad to have him with us today. His present outreach ministries include teaching ethics at area universities, including Northeastern and Assumption, and serving as a staff chaplain at St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester. He works with children and families in distress through Children's Charter, which is a child and family trauma clinic, and provides consultation in child protective cases. So, John, we are so glad to have you with us this morning. And I also want to thank our other worship leaders today. We have Tom Foster, Beth Canterbury, Wayne Serretter, and Janine Keady joining us as worship leaders today. And we also thank Hank Serretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Natick Pegasus for their technical expertise that makes all of this possible. Right, following the announcements this morning, we will have a time of lighting the Christ candle, and we invite you all to have a candle with you that you can light at the same time to show that we are a community of faith gathered. Although we cannot be in the same place together, we are gathered as a community of faith. And that will come right after the announcements. And there will be a time for sharing your prayer requests and celebrations this morning. You can send those prayer requests and celebrations to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And as long as we receive them before the end of the reflection, we should be able to include them in our time of prayer. There is a slight delay in our broadcast, so just keep that in mind and get us those prayer requests sooner rather than later. We would love to include them for everyone today. And following our worship today, we'll have our post-worship fellowship time, a little bit like coffee hour. It's a time of that we gather and sometimes talk about the service, sometimes just catch up with what's going on with each other's lives. It's a wonderful time of fellowship, and we invite you all to join us for that. There is a Zoom link that's available in the link email newsletter that goes out on Fridays and the one that went out this morning. This is a different post link than what we would normally use because Jonathan is usually the one who starts these meetings and he is on vacation. So do use the new link that is available this morning in the email that went out today. And are you ready? Are you ready for Super Bowl 2021? This is our Super Bowl where we donate food to our local food pantries. This year, we're going to be doing that to A Place to Turn. This is how you understand where your team is. If you live north of Route 135, you are a polar bear. If you live south of Route 135, you are a penguin. And those teams will all become clear to you if you go online to yougivegoods.com/Natick Super Bowl 2021. And you can sign up there to donate food. They'll donate the food directly to the food pantry. This makes it a little bit easier at this time of the pandemic. Some of the food pantries are not taking food directly from donors. And so it's easier if you go through You Give Goods. It makes it very easy. We will be in competition. We want to see if the polar bears or the penguins can donate more food to the food pantries. And you can also drop food off at the church. If you do that, just on your bag, put in big letters, penguin or polar bear, and we will keep track of it that way. But it is a little bit easier if you go through You Give Goods. And Jonathan returns from his vacation tomorrow, so we'll welcome him back. And we welcome him back first thing tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. There will be a meeting that you are all invited to attend on Zoom. It's a virtual meeting to update the congregation on the church finances. And this is really important because just in a couple of weeks, we'll be having our annual meeting. And we don't want anyone to be surprised at that meeting. There's a lot of information about our church finances that will be available at the meeting tomorrow night that will help us be prepared for the decisions that we may need to make at annual meeting this year. I also want to invite you to join us on Wednesday at noon for our Midweek Connection and Prayer. This is a quick meetup and check-in where we share prayer requests, and it's a time to be in prayer together with one another. So we invite you to join us for that. The links for that are also available in the link email and on the website. And because Jonathan will be returning next week, if you have a pastoral care need, you can contact him directly at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org. So let's continue with our worship.
Let us now light our candles, remembering by these friendly flames that by the power of the Spirit, we are one in Christ, no matter how distance may divide us. And let us also remember in the lighting of these candles that the light shines in the darkness.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. We worship today in the presence of the God beyond knowing,
yet whom we know.
We worship the God who is beyond understanding,
yet who understands us.
We worship the God whose thoughts are not our thoughts and whose ways are not our ways,
yet who has been revealed to us in grace and truth through Jesus Christ.
In the presence of the unknown and the known, the incomprehensible and the comprehending, let us worship our God. Join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God of wisdom, you knew our need to see you in human form, to feel your love through a human heart, to know your will and purposes through a human life. And you came to be among us in Jesus, to live and love, suffer and die, and rise again, that we may know we will rise. Illumine our minds by the light of your presence as we worship this day, that we may more fully know you and the deeper truth that you offer and more faithfully serve you. Amen.
I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's presence and meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or offering the word namaste with a bow which conveys the sense that the divine in me sees the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you. We come now to the time of offering. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you with all that we are and with what we have. We come with what we have to offer materially. We come with what we have to offer in our minds and our hearts. We offer to you our love of justice and peace, of compassion, of courage. We offer what we have to your will and to your purpose. Receive now our gifts. Let us pray. Lord God, we offer ourselves and our substance on this morning, that the light of your truth might shine more brightly, that the winds of justice might blow more fiercely, that the warmth of your compassion might warm the hearts and melt the hardness of all of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 through 40. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribes of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Here ends the reading for today.
Let us pray. Lord God, open our hearts to your word, that we may gain wisdom, that we may gain understanding, that we may gain courage and grow in compassion. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the first Sunday after Epiphany. Epiphany, according to Webster's dictionary, is January 6th, observed as a church festival and commemoration of the coming of the Magi as the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, or in the Eastern Church, a commemoration of the baptism of Christ. Some secondary definitions: an appearance or manifestation, especially of a divine being, an illuminating discovery, realization, or disclosure, a revealing scene or moment. January 6th. This January 6th was a January 6th that perhaps we should have seen it coming, but I don't think anyone could have imagined what came. I'm a trauma clinician, and I'm fairly confident to say that the entire country was traumatized. The most fragile on December 6th fled into the arms of the darkness, seeking a false sense of safety. Those more resilient are finding some way through it, some way beyond it. And there's a lot of uncertainty about what to do and how to proceed. And great longing, I think, on that day and in the days following and today, for some epiphany, for some insight, for some revealing of where do we go and how do we get past this? How do we get through this? How do we heal this? Epiphanies are a rare thing. Epiphanies come when we least expect them. Epiphanies are no respecter of calendars. No respecters of our time. They come in their time. I don't think this January 6th was an epiphany. It was an unmasking of what was deplorable and what now is palpably dangerous. I found myself thinking in the days following being a white male, that I suddenly saw the dangerousness of it. But I remembered Van Jones, who's an African-American commentator on CNN, in the days of the protests this past summer, with tears in his eyes, saying, "We just want to raise our children in peace." That was an epiphany. And we're all seeking an epiphany will come. But it wasn't this January 6th. And as I thought of what passage to select for this morning, I wondered about epiphany in the Gospels. And the Gospel of John has its own epiphany, but not one associated with the Bible story of the birth of Jesus. The Gospel of Mark has nothing to say about the birth of Jesus. There are epiphanies, though many, Jesus being the primary one. Matthew has his own epiphany story, a darker one that features the slaughter of the innocents. The Gospel of Luke has its account that really features Simeon and Anna. I selected the Gospel of Luke's story before Wednesday because who wants to revisit the slaughter of the innocents? But then I thought afterward and in the days succeeding that perhaps there's something to be said for Matthew's inclusion of that terrible story. A reminder, I think, of the horrible and dark things that can happen. And I went back and forth on which was the right story and decided in the end that they're both true, that they both have some light to shed. And so I'm not going to read the story from the Gospel of Matthew, but I'm going to share a poem I found, a longest poem that was written by a Mennonite minister. And the title of it is The Innkeeper, an Epiphany Poem. I don't know his name. I couldn't find it. I found it on the internet. But I'm going to share that story with you, and then we'll return to Anna and Samuel and consider how they might lead us through this, to some place of safety, to some sense of peace and courage and faithfulness in this difficult time. So here, an epiphany poem. They were grateful lodgers, considering the humble accommodations. We did the best we could, the place full up. Our stable, the last corner we had, Mary, who had a baby coming, wanting only peace and privacy, was happy with anything. It was a birth like any other. The mother spent, the baby crying, the father bewildered. I gave her swaddling clothes, the ones my Daniel used. Daniel was on my lap as I gave him. And he wanted down and toddled over to the baby, leaning close, patting his face, and we all laughed. They stayed a couple of weeks. We had no trouble with them. Some shepherds came to visit. The night, that bright star had us all out staring. Then there were those foreign fellows. I don't know how they knew them, but they didn't stay long. The next morning, in fact, early, her husband pounding on the door at daybreak, wanted to settle the bill with gold coins, no less. I went out to say goodbye, holding the baby tightly. She looked gray with worry. I hurried over, thinking the baby was sick, but she told me of her husband's dream, that Herod was coming to kill their child. And now they were fleeing this very hour to Egypt of all places. I reassured her as best I could, her not being from these parts. It's safe here. Safe as anywhere, I told her. And why would Herod take an interest in any child in Bethlehem? Egypt is a long way away. I looked into her eyes. You'll go all that way for a dream? The last I saw them, they were cresting that hill. She looked back and held up her hand. And then they were gone, Egypt bound. I did not think much about them again until the day the soldiers came, Herod's men. Silent and brutal, untouched by any mother's screams, house to house they searched for children under two. I was standing here by the window when they came and tore my Daniel from my arms. They left him lying on the ground outside. The crying on the outside has stopped, but inside I'm still weeping for Daniel and every other missing child. I think of Mary in Egypt with her baby in her arms. All are dead and buried. If we had known the danger, we would have left everything and followed her. The anger that fills me now is bigger than my life. It looks for a king whose bloody men came armed and armored. It looks toward Roman rulers that leave our men enraged and helpless, knowing that survival depends on our accepting suffering, at least for now. And my anger rages as far as God's throne, challenging a deity who sends dreams to only one. Would it have been too much to ask for a dream that warned of danger for all Bethlehem's children? My mind swirling with anger and grief, I sit here empty-lapped, and my dreams are all of Egypt, and a baby safe in his mother's arms. Our sense of safety has been shaken. Our sense of what to do has been rendered uncertain. And this innkeeper, despite all that he had gone through, the depth and the horror of his suffering, ends, my dreams are all of Egypt and a baby safe in his mother's arms. I was shocked on Wednesday, but I thought Black mothers and fathers perhaps weren't shocked. That immigrant mothers and fathers weren't shocked. That LGBTQ parents weren't shocked. Before then, I thought they were deplorable, but they knew they were dangerous. And so they are. And who will recover? And who will rise up? And who will be strong? But those whose dreams are all of Egypt and a baby safe in his mother's arms. That's a story worth hearing on this Sunday. But the words of Anna, the words of Simeon, grand words that look into a future and have a certain triumphalist sound to them, should also ring in our ears. They light a light. They keep our minds and our hearts focused on what matters most, on what's true and good and beautiful. They offer us an epiphany. They tell us what that epiphany is, that final resting place where all is peace, all is just, where compassion prevails. But they speak of a future. I couldn't help but notice that both Simeon and Anna are old. God only knows what they had seen. Suffering enough, I suppose. And so I don't think their vision comes easily. I don't think their vision comes without a sense that there is a long road to travel. And if there is anything revealed by January 6th, it is that we have a long road to travel. And that our brothers and sisters of all races, our brothers and sisters of all genders and sexual preferences, need us to join them on that journey. I don't think there was an epiphany on January 6th. I think there was only an unmasking of the horror of what hatred can bring. But there is an epiphany coming. We will be celebrating an epiphany on Monday, this coming Monday. Martin Luther King Jr., who had a dream of peace and justice, a dream that people's character and sense of what's right and good and true will bind us. The epiphany is coming. Wait for it with confidence. Let it seep into your hearts. Let it seep into our minds. For there is a way through this darkness. And I recall in closing, and I think it was in Memories, Dreams, and Reflections by Carl Jung, who was talking about the struggle for consciousness, the struggle for doing what's right and good. He said it's a lot like carrying a candle into a storm. The only way to keep a candle lit in a storm is to cup your hand around the flame and to walk straight into the wind. And that's what we'll do. We're going to cup our hands and our hearts and our minds around the light of Christ. And we're going to walk into the storm. Amen.
Good morning. Prayers for the family and friends of Christine Keller's grandfather-in-law, John Van Ness, who passed away peacefully on Monday. We pray for our leaders in Washington. May they find courage to act and do God's will. Prayers for strength and peace for those who have not let others know of their needs. May they know that they are surrounded by the healing of God's love even before they framed their plea. Prayers go out to our elderly family and friends who are feeling a great loss brought on by their required isolation and limitations. May they find the consolation in the coming of the vaccine. Lastly, prayers of gratitude and dedication of our teachers and students as they work together in the pursuit of knowledge of each and every day. Thank you.
Let us gather ourselves together in a moment of silence as we open our hearts and our minds to the love and the light and the truth of God. Lord God, hear our prayers as we consider the prayer of Saint Francis. Make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us bring love. Where there is offense, let us bring pardon. Where there is discord, let us bring union. Where there is error, let us bring truth. Where there is doubt, let us bring faith. Where there is despair, let us bring hope. Where there is darkness, let us bring your light. Where there is sadness, let us bring joy. O Master, let us not seek as much to be consoled as to console. Be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in self-forgetting that we find ourselves. It is in dying that we are raised to eternal life. Lord God, hear all our prayers in this hour, spoken and unspoken. Prayers too deep for words, hear them as well. As we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Courage in the promises of God. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God be and abide with each and every one of you now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.